he says it shouldn't have been allowed.
No. One of the aims of this ordinance
was to prevent it.
But
he says it should have been allowed.
Well, he doesn't give much attention to this aspect, and he concentrates on other aspects and says that it is impractical.
I don't know what he... Well, I'd like to see what he's saying, you know, without reading it, you wouldn't be able to say. Well, if, for instance, he attacks this idea of not permitting these people to mortgage or alienate, then of course he says it, that what is impracticable is that. Mm. And that's to say he should have been given full rights without it.
You can't have it both ways, can you?
I don't think you can. That's his British law of property mind beginning to work, that's all.
Regarding agricultural development in the 30s, I have, and especially in the war years, I have a feeling that DS and the government sometimes set their targets far, far too high, and then didn't even get within 25% of the...
We say it of everything. We never reach our targets. After all, I mean...
Yeah, but you must have, for a plan to be good, it must be, I agree that you have to aim high, but...
Every plan in this world, the better the plan, the less it is put into effect fully. Mm-hmm. Take the Christian faith, what a marvelous plan it is. What are you talking anymore? It's broken down completely. Mm-hmm. It's the Christians that started grabbing everybody's country all over the world. I mean, surely, that was not the Christian idea. No, plan was marvelous. People say we have to, but they do the opposite. That's not a criticism of the plan. It's a criticism of the people. No, but I merely gave you an exaggerated sort of outside here, the analogy, but there it is. No, don't go by. Plan may be very good.
Now, for instance, his agricultural program demanded an efficient irrigation department. This is a difficult point. But the irrigation department has been very slow in civilization.
In
civilization. Before 1931. But, so to correct that, you have to bring in more citizens. But he seems to have got rid of many of the European heads of departments.
Who seems to have got rid
of? Yes. Partly because of personal factors that he gets on.
Mm.
And in effect, if you get rid of the many experienced men, you are undermining your agricultural program.
Oh, definitely. I don't know whether he had done so.
Well, Kennedy was a bit tough on the alcoholic, but then he appointed someone over the head of someone else, and therefore...
Who Stenak appointed?
Taylor over Wilson's head.
Uh-huh.
So Wilson left.
Mm-hmm. So that's all right.
No, but then the question is, have you got enough people to work with your plan?
Well, that all depends. How many others were left behind?
There were not many experienced people.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't gone into that aspect, but some of them were actually giving trouble to Mr. Stenak.
Yes, quite likely.
So naturally, they're asking to be pushed out. I don't know. I
don't
know.
I wonder whether he was demanding too much. Perhaps he was demanding a new yes man. No, he was not that type.
No, I don't think he asked for a yes man. Because, no, I don't think
so. Because after all, he didn't, there's no question of European sort of colors coming in here. He and Edmund Rodrigo didn't quite fit it off, did they?
Yes.
But I thought that was partly because of Edmund Rodrigo was very independent.
Not because Edmund Rodrigo was... Maybe that, maybe some other reason, whatever is the reason, they, as you say, it's possible they didn't hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's true of these other people also. They didn't hit it off because they had what might be called the civil service complex.
Mm-hmm.
And could get on with this. What they regarded as an outsider, no?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that, we don't know. And naturally, of course, the outsider would hit back hard, and especially, no harm in that.
In fact, that brings me to the 1920s, when this, for the first time, the Legislative Council had an unofficial majority, at the time of the Land Commission.
Mm.
Many of these heads of the departments were severely criticized in the Finance Committee.
Mm.
I mean, Vijay Vardhan's paper also gave them
type.
Mm. Was this resented?
Not that I'm aware of, because it affected us, no?
Mm-hmm.
We never bothered.
Because when the Dalmore Commission came, there was a secret meeting held in Canberra when some representatives of the civil service went and met them. I wonder whether they consulted the civil service.
I don't know. Of course, I was too junior at that time to be consulted. Besides, I was not a member of the Civil Service Association.
No, I was one of the...
No, I don't know. I may have consulted some of the others.
What was your own reaction to the Donamore Constitution?
No, never bothered to write.
You know the franchise?
Uh-huh. Good point.
Mm-hmm. What was the other... did other Europeans comment against it?
No, not that I'm aware of. They were not against it. States was not there.
Oh, he was part.
No, there were different viewpoints. Not against the universal franchise. By recollection, certainly right.
Mm-hmm. And the Constitution itself, what did you think of the committee system?
Well, it all depends on how it worked. I didn't know myself, I never bothered.
You didn't come into contact with
them? Well, I used to be writing some of their reports, but they never knew I was doing it, that's all.
That's agriculture. I really didn't have to attend any meetings, not even
there. One or two.
When was that?
That was when I was writing those reports, I was told to come and listen, which I did. Nothing much.
DS had full control, I suppose. I mean, were there any other members of that committee who struck your eye as having some knowledge?
Not as having some knowledge, but some showed a certain obstreperousness, which was very, very amusing.
Right?
I think it was Abhimanyu Sekhar. The chap called Abhimanyu Sekhar.
Obstreperous against the DS?
Against the committee as such. Mm-hmm. Different people's natures, but...
Interested in this trip you made to India on its immigration business, I suppose, as secretary. Jimson was there, Bandar Nayaka, G.S., I suppose.
Claude Courier.
Claude Courier, and he was the minister, isn't he? And did you all meet beforehand and formulate a policy on this question?
Yes, I suppose they must have met. I was there when all these things were being discussed.
What was Ceylon's standpoint?
Ceylon's standpoint was that the quicker these chaps left them, I can't remember now. Mm-hmm. Quicker these people were pushed back, the better.
Better. But it is not accepted there.
No, they didn't accept it there. They came back here. They had another set of meetings there. So G.S. Pajpai and the others came. And some conclusion, some understanding was reached.
Mm-hmm.
There, of course, after 5 or 6 days of meeting, but I was presiding, said, "No, ladies and gentlemen, I am really sorry to say that I don't think any useful purpose will be served by continuing to hold these meetings anymore."
What sort of chap was he?
Short, good service chap.
Bureaucratic man?
Must be. Straight away, Bandar Nayaka put his hand out and shook mine. I got into serious trouble. Jimson was watching me because I was supposed to be a secretary. Mr. Bandar Nayaka, I was seated next to him and said, put his hand on, shook hands.
What was that?
And mother said, "Cheers, that means we have destroyed it."
You mean destroyed what? Destroyed the meeting?
Destroyed the meeting.
But how did that help Ceylon?
I don't know, but he thought it was marvelous.
What sort of minister was Korea?
Well, I mean, quiet, very sedate. Couldn't argue things so well as Mr. Bandar Nayaka can, but Mr. Bandar Nayaka would argue anybody's head off. Very good.
Was he the chief spokesman on this meeting?
Well, I mean, he certainly spoke. If this is not, I'll give you a very nice one if this is not. Till when I think of him, I feel sorry that he's not here anymore.
But, how was he at school? Was he a sort of precocious chap? He seems to be very protected at that stage.
Well, naturally, he being the only son of a very well-known, important man. And that is what happened, you see. Everybody treated him with a great deal of reserve. And he was a very friendly fellow. He used to come rushing along and hello and speak to you. But we used to be sort of reserved. That's our fault. He was a really good chap. Good friendly fellow.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the fact that he came from a certain
And I wonder whether that gave him a complex.
No. Great thing, it didn't give him a complex. But if it's a complex, it is that somehow or other he should keep the members of his family out of his reach, which he did. He did nothing for them. Unlike the wife.
In fact, regarding this delegation, was Hakan there?
Which delegation?
To India?
Yes, Hakan was there.
What sort of chap was he? Oh, I see.
Naturally, after all, I mean, somebody had to.
But they wanted more Indians coming.
No, they didn't want any interference with the Indians coming.
But I thought the Indian government had also already interfered and stopped the coming.
Yes. But this was to induce these people to come again, but whereas the views of Mr. Banu Nagavi have been slightly different.
Mm-hmm. What about Jameson? I thought he was one of the more liberal-minded.
Very nice man. He went to Governor of Hong Kong and got captured. Nice man.
Because Kumari told me that he was very, very unpopular with the planter.
Who is Kumari?
Kumari Jawad has done a thesis on this.
Okay. I didn't know that.
There is no answer to letters. He has seen letters written by planters and stopped by the censor during the war of 1840. So this would suggest that he had been working fairly closely with Korea.
Quite possible, yes. I think Correa was a sober, steady man. He wouldn't do anything sort of utterly wrong.
Going back to the late 20s and Fletcher, did you feel that Fletcher was playing the political game? Trying to win Curry's political favor?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think so. Personally, I think it's his nature.
He was a...
That type, you know, prepared to concede things to others. Sense of fair play is pronounced.
I don't understand. What's such a popular with DS and others?
As a matter of fact, there have been more trouble with this, but for such a time.
And 31 period, you get these three policemen, officers of state. Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of friction between these three men and the border minister?
Not that I'm aware of. But then they got outvoted, no?
They had no vote. But they had financial power.
Nothing
happened. Now I was wondering would, after all, was a tough chap, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't a tough chap, he was a reasonable man.
Uh-huh.
I don't know myself, because I was never in the board of ministers, and secretary like that, I don't know. But I mean, no one ever bothered about the board. They all felt that the ministers had their own way there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but now you're in public service, Madam Minister, appointment?
Tipsy and I wanted a man in a certain place, he got him here. Yeah. They still liked it or not, I suppose.
In fact, I was surprised that they chose Tirol, but wasn't he a rather unpredictable sort?
What was predictable about him was that he was bureaucratic by nature.
Tough.
Yes, no, nice manners, but there it is. Thought it great, very had a very high opinion of himself, that's all. Well, it's 6:30 now, huh?
Yes. Actually, I come to the end of the tape.
Indeed.
At this point, the original spool was reversed. The interview is continued.
Regarding land work, would you say that land settlement was something like a huge case, partition case?
Well, it didn't start that way, but it ended with some aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
The original intention was clearly to separate off crown land from private land.
Mm-hmm.
And under the late land ordinance, certain lands would be used with crown. But the those that were not conditioned, or were not, the conditions did not satisfy, then of course the lands became crown. But the trouble was this, very soon,
land, became the subject of a dispute with a number of conflicting claims. Trouble was not as between the crown on the one hand and they on the other one as among themselves. So that first the crown had to, the land settlement officer had to settle that case. And after that, go into the question as to whether it belongs to the crown or not. So in the process, it was found that his opportunity for making a settlement is based on the presumption that the land is the property of the crown. So on that he said, neither yours nor yours, but I will tell you, this bit is yours, this bit is yours, take it or leave. And then they took it and signed up, and I suppose went and abused the settlement also behind his back.
When did this change come about?
After come about, practically at the very beginning, because it's inherent in the procedure, you see. The moment you say this land is here, tell us whether this land is yours or not. There may be two people making claims, the same land.
It was long before you became an ASO.
So I started off with people like crazy. The moment land settlement was started, then of course this must have begun and then it was utilized for a certain purpose, unexpected, and not intended reason.
And turning to this land development ordinance in which I believe 1935, in which you had a hand, I presume.
Those were the outcome of seeing what was happening in the area, and Mr. Chairman had a strong desire to associate land settlement with land development. The biggest drawback to development was the feeling that they did not know whether the crown would step in and save at any time or not.
Yes, I see.
And now, in the colonial war, there are lands that have remained unsettled for 30 years in the war, in the colonial war. You see, there are some such inefficient fellows now. For 30 years, the lands remain unsettled. How on earth can you expect people to develop those lands?
In fact, you said you had some bones to pick with the present-day settlement work. What were you thinking?
Not really. Only that some land that belonged to the Madhwamura estate had not been settled. Not bones to pick in that sense. But trouble is if you have a land settlement officer who doesn't know his own mind, the whole thing goes wrong.
Is it a sort of weakness? Indecisiveness. I was wondering if they had been given enough staff these days.
Even if they had only one clerk, quite a lot could be done in 5 years, 30 years. You only got to visit the village once. Claims are of a sort, rudimentary cash things were sparse. And the decision can be very busy.
You got some land in that area, have you? Family?
Not I.
Oh, yes.
Not there only in other areas also. This is a mere illustration of the sort of thing that can happen. It holds up development, you see.
Regarding this land development ordinance, would it be correct to say that one of D.S.A. Naika's ideas in stipulating that it could not be alienated, these new grants could not be alienated, was to prevent land passing into the hands of Chettis and Boras and foreigners?
That's partly the reason. Partly is prevent fragmentation because of the law of inheritance. In England, the system always has been for the elder to make a for the transfer of the land subject to certain rights to the eldest in the family. But here there was no such thing. So that if a person has 5 acres and 10 children, it ended up by each having not more than half. For half would disappear in the process of litigation. Then the balance half is divided among the 5, the whole thing goes wrong. That's one reason. Another thing is, of course, these Boras have been not
And also, were certain Ceylonese land brokers and others also considered persona non grata as far as...
Possibly, but I don't know.
No, I mean, shall I say, outsiders of the village were...
Well, anybody who sponsored this kind of thing, sale of land, well, even to Europeans, right? Not to Europeans. Not doing the right thing. Please, but... The Europeans at that time were trying to create anything that the people responsible are not these, not they, but the low country people. That's all, not
they were behind the...
Yeah, no, actually, they were the people who wanted to buy large tracts of land.
Yeah.
The others bought a small little land and sometimes bought lands which were available for sale. The Europeans were the ones that rented for hundreds and hundreds of acres.
Apart from that, I have some suspicion that some of the older European Jews were opposed to Brain and his ideas and didn't put their best foot forward in working this...
Yes, well, if it all must be due to some kind of personal feeling that they couldn't think of it first.
But you, did you feel that this was happening?
Well, it did happen, I think. They were all rather critical of Brain, but because they couldn't think of it, they were... as an extent, envious of the fact that Brain thought it all out. And perhaps they also felt that if this is done, the opportunities of expansion on the British side would be reduced. They may have had that feeling, but I mean, they never would tell it to you. There were one or two people who were very much enamored of the idea of one. And...
Yes?
He won't afford it.
I noticed that this sort of land was meant for the what they call the landless. But I was wondering how they defined it, because there were some peasants who didn't own land but were virtually secure in their tenancy because of family factors.
Well, they are not landless in some sense anyway. I don't think people pay much attention to that kind of thing. You can first tell that you're going to do it with your own work. No, technical things never bother administrators.
Would it be correct to say that D.S. Senaika was built up a group of advisors? I think mostly Ceylonese, but including perhaps Brain, whom he consulted on agricultural matters.
No, I wouldn't say that. All he did was he had certain views, and he had the perspicacity to know people who were on the same view.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, but then, what about politically? People say that he used to consult OEG a lot in the 40s.
As a matter of fact, I don't think OEG knew head or tail about land.
No, not on land matters, on political matters.
I would not. Mm-hmm. But he would certainly consult him. He made him fit in then. He spoke to him about a number of things, incidentally, I suppose. There was an exchange of views on a number of matters.
And how did Jennings come into the show in the 1940s?
Jennings came into the show in 1940s because there was nobody there at the time who could evolve the constitution for Ceylon.
Surely we had some Ceylonese legal draftsmen of sorts?
Of sorts is right.
But he...
Jennings was working like a kind of Savvy's tools were there in the Civil Defense Office.
So was it OEG who introduced Jennings to...
They must have met somewhere or other, but when it came to drafting a constitution, there was nobody else who could do it. Same assurance that Jennings could have shown. So between them, they must have... Jennings gave the ideas and Karnataka decided whether to accept them or not.
Yes, but they must have had some sort of confidence in Jenny. Or just did he swing with the wind?
No, I suppose he said exactly what he felt.
Mm-hmm.
These people saw to it that he did exactly what they wanted him to do.
Very interesting this period because you were in a key position as Deputy Civil Defense Commissioner. What were your duties then?
Deputy to the audience.
Yes, did he delegate much responsibility to you? Or did he keep...
Well, food blocks inside the minus two did they?
Uh-huh.
And anything else that came my way.
How did you find him as a boss? Was he...
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Did he drive people hard? Or?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He drove them in a very subtle manner.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We got the work he wanted done. But never hurt their feelings anymore. Mm-hmm.
Would it be correct to say that in this period, the key British officials, people like Caldicott, and then Drayton and Nihil a bit later on, were far more cooperative than the earlier?
They were because they were new to the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they were nervous about the people at the top of our organization in relation to the Donegal Constitution, you see. That is the minister and so on.
Yes.
The others, the relationship came at a time when they had got accustomed to a different state of affairs.
What others? Wedderburn and?
Those who had been there at the time of the changeover were accustomed to a different state of affairs.
Mm-hmm. But Abraham, what sort of man was Drayton personally?
With you.
Mm-hmm. Did you note whether the Chamber of Commerce and some of the, shall I say, the commercial sector, the European commercial sector, didn't like the extent to which Drayton and others were, and Jennings and others were cooperating with the DSN crowd?
They probably wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know for certain because I didn't know, but they didn't try to
pressurize the governor.
Goodness knows. Even if they did, I wouldn't come to know.
Uh-huh. Because, you see, I read an article by Jennings and he says that not until Drayton came along that the leading politicians got on really well with the...
That's possible because Drayton, as I said, was a new man.
Uh-huh.
The others have got accustomed to a different state of affairs.
But on the other hand, I have some evidence that there was some big row between Drayton and DS over some small issue, ultimately.
What is the issue, you tell me?
That's what I've been trying to find out what this was about. It was about 45, quite late in the day.
In 45, I was at Pilby.
Mm-hmm. But it was late in the day, so...
Find out what the issue is, and they will tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember the Barnes case? The case of land in Aurelia, owned by Governor Barnes and his family from the 1830s. That was the cause some trouble, but I think that was earlier.
What was the name of the estate?
No, the Crown had been planting a tree every year to try and maintain the Crown claim, because the Barnes family couldn't claim it. They had not cultivated it, you see. It was not a...
No, I'm not aware of this.
But it led to a row between D.S. Naika and Tyrrell, I think.
I don't know. If you know what the name of the estate is at present, I will be able to tell you.
I think it was not cultivated, you see, so I...
Where did you read?
Well, I got it from people whom I met, and something in which Newnham wrote Hulugalda, I think. Yes, that's right.
Which one was I tell you?
I saw the letter. He showed me that.
If I see the letter, I'll be able to say something. There's
nothing very specific there. No name of land is given.
Of course, if we did mention it, there may have been something. But you know, Campbell and others are people who belong to the old school, you see, and as such, took a certain attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
What about Caldecott?
Caldecott is different. He gave a job. He carried on quite reasonably well, I think.
You found him easy to get on with?
Well, I think he still does, when I did meet him. Quite all right.
I mean, what was your impression about the relations between D.S. Tennaika and Caldecott?
Good.
Mm-hmm. And Leighton?
Leighton didn't quarrel with Mr. D.S. Tennaika. He certainly quarrelled with him for years. With
Oliver and
D.S. he didn't
call. He was, I think, the civil servant felt rough edge of his.
Yes, so I heard.
You didn't have any trouble at
no, I was deputy. Mm. He used to come there and talk very affably and go away. Not very long. 5 minutes, perhaps, or 2 or 3 minutes, we always stand up when he comes and then we always fire off something with a few expletives introduced into the language. Leighton and Caldecott must have had a couple of battles.
Mm-hmm.
Or Leighton must have started the aggressiveness. Caldecott is not that type.
Do you think Leighton would have got on without Caldecott? In the sense that Caldecott was a buffer to some extent.
Between?
Between Leighton and...
One never knows.
Mm-hmm.
But he got on well with T.S. I don't think there were any battles there.
Turning to this delegation which went to India and which you went on, was there a clearly formulated policy before we went? Did the body meet together and decide what they were going to ask for?
After the discussions, in the course of the discussions, they formulated a certain proposal, but it broke down.
Right.
The whole thing broke down, and they came back, uh-huh. And an Indian delegation came here,
what
headed by Vajpayee.
What were the Sirhindi's demands?
The demands of that all the chefs should have taken away.
Uh-huh. Every single one?
Well, I mean, that's the demand. I don't know whether that was the expectation. We don't want them.
Did Huxham and Crowd support this? The European civil?
Well, they were sent there in order to oppose it, but they couldn't do anything. Now, this one was there also. Who was it? Who was the...
Jameson.
Jameson was there. But he couldn't do a thing.
The impression I get is that the Sirhindi's delegation went and that they were, within the Sirhindi's delegation, there were three sort of policies. D.S. and his crowd, the Europeans, and Bandaranaike.
Bandaranaike was very extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tennaika was also just the same, but he saw to it that everybody blamed Bandaranaike and he wasn't blamed at all. The only thing I did was when he came back, he was a fellow called R.E.D. Alvis, who met us at Talimana, got into the train and wanted to discuss this question with him. I told him, saying, I got nothing doing, don't say a word. Then Bandaranaike to make the first speech.
To the other?
To whomsoever it may be. Result, the whole blame of the opposition group or the other group came on Bandaranaike.
The Europeans. You didn't want the Europeans to run the show?
No, I didn't want it. My goodness. They had a feeling that I was prodding Bandaranaike. I wasn't. But they all had a friendly feeling towards me because I was at school with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Tennaika, everything he did. Although comparatively young.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Bandaranaike also went.
Mrs. Bandaranaike?
Just married, mind you. Within 2-10 days of marriage, they went. Practically, they
honeymoon.
In that company, there were 3 prime ministers. So nobody expected it at that time.
Uh-huh. And what was the Indian standpoint? They didn't want to take anybody back.
Indian standpoint was that as a result of long domicile, they ought to be looked upon as civilians.
Uh-huh. I thought the England had passed a law which prevented these fellows going back.
Quite possible. I can't remember the details. I've got all the details. Whatever the law was, I mean, we didn't look upon them as members of the country.
Alien in spirit.
No, I feel conservative spirit on this side. And there, I remember we went to Varda.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Senanayake went to Varda. I also went with him.
Uh-huh.
And of course, of talk, Mr. Gandhi fired off a whole lot of high salutes about the unity of the human race, that all human beings are one and all the things that we read on in the Bible.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but what is your impression of Gandhi?
I mean, everything he said, we had read in other books, spiritual books.
No, but was it practical? That's the point.
Right, I did not want. Who can say they are wrong? Jesus Christ has said the same thing. Buddha has said so. So, how can you say it's wrong? Gandhi said the same. Although, of course, Jesus Christ was careful to say, my kingdom is not of this world. No?
Don't you think that...
And he's changing the subject. He doesn't like that kind of talk. You, I mean...
Oh, no, I was, you know, interesting point about Gandhi. I think he had an advantage over...
Why are you so interested in Gandhi when I'm talking about Jesus Christ?
Oh, well.
Are you a Christian?
Actually, I'm not a practicing one.
There you are. Definitely, not all of us are, not one. I'm a Buddhist. But I would say I'm a strictly practicing Buddhist. But see, I found it out about just once. What are you?
You're Anglican.
Huh?
Anglican, Church of England.
Church of England. Then you're a Christian, but not practicing. So what, you were going to ask me something about Gandhi?
No, I was wondering whether his saintly, I won't go and say facade, but his saintly attitude was a great advantage in all these political negotiations. And even the British found it difficult to deal with the same.
It can't be a facade only, otherwise you wouldn't have been able to get control of that enormous country. From one point of view, purely on the salt issue, we call it, for the whole country together, you must have had some strong feelings, because sincere. I don't know.
Yes, but say he had these, but it was an advantage because people found it difficult to meet his argument.
These things are not determined by argument. These things are determined by emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
people, huh? Well, I wouldn't say prejudice is emotion. But people feel more important than what people think. Like Kuei has said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The imagination, as you say, is more important than the intellect. You may think a certain thing detachedly, but when you act, you are guided by your emotion.
Mm-hmm. Turning to a completely different sphere in politics.
Yes, you were on Gandhi.
Well, now I have limited time, so I have to jump on. I noticed that you were AGA emergency in Kandy. What were your duties then?
Well, mainly production of food.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do more work.
That's rather topical now.
Very topical. I remember that even.
And how successful were you in that time?
Quite good. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky that the RMs cooperated very well. And more than that, I had some chap who had come from Burma, where he had been looked upon as a kind of very advanced spiritual soul. I forget his name now.
Mm-hmm.
He had almost started some kind of creed there. Came here and he led these people by singing and so on.
A Burmese?
No, singly.
Mm-hmm. In Kandy district?
Well, he's not from the Kandy district. I think he's from the Morotua area here. But he had gone to Burma and came back. I see. I know his name, but now it's so many years ago, I can't remember it. Then he came and tried to establish something here. He didn't succeed. But what he did succeed was in getting those villagers together and making them march like a land army, the one with pickaxes, shovels and spades and so on there, and singing.
Mm-hmm. But for all the enthusiasm, did these people have the skills to produce more food?
They have far more skills than most of our trained agriculturists.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wondering whether they tried to utilize townspeople in this Radhan family.
No. What the townspeople did was make speeches.
No, the question is not only more production, but better markets and distribution also is very essential. Was that there?
No, that was not our function. Mm-hmm. That's the central organization, civil defense and so on.
But how was that up to scratch?
You can't organize these things in a GP, but I think it was all right. What we got, we distributed nicely. But I don't think anybody really starved at that time.
Was it a costly business, getting this extra production?
You give the people a lead, these chefs will do the work. But they want the right man. He had practically founded an organization, a creed somewhere there in Burma.
I noticed that you were also acting land commissioner when you were deputy civil defense commissioner. What were your tasks then?
To watch all those people were up, whether they were doing any work.
So, in fact, you were additional land commission just to train like after to keep eye on.
That's the only way the person knows it.
What made him suspicious?
Not suspicious, just to see. Mm-hmm. This is some civil servants are just bureaucrats. They go through a certain process, but no work is done.
This work in this land development ordinance or what was it?
No, generally land work, including land development, everything. Anything that was done there had to be watched critically.
And what did you find?
You found mistakes here, little errors there, you corrected them and like that. The only trouble is you never know how much has been omitted. Mm-hmm. After all, doing civil defense work and this at the same time. Incidentally, I think Jennings was also a deputy civil defense commissioner at the time.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yes.
That's how he must have got into the picture.
Well, no. For the purposes of the constitution, he was there because he knew it.
No, but that's how you made the first contacts, I presume.
Yes, that, of course, one never knows who put him in there.
Someone told me that he was quite a practical man as deputy civil defense. In the civil defense.
No, he was not given that kind of thing.
Oh.
He was not given that kind of thing.
What about as director of agriculture? How did you enjoy that period?
I enjoyed every kind of work I was put. Mm-hmm. That also was because of a sudden gap, sudden hiatus. Edmund Rodrigo, I think.
Had a clash with the...
Mrs. Denneheiser.
Over what?
God knows. Maybe anything. In the next minute, old Edmund Rodrigo was price control or control, or some nonsense like that. But you know, those things you can transfer.
Did you feel that this crash program which they had in 44-45 of crash program of bringing new land on the cultivation was a bit optimistic in that they didn't take into account the various difficulties?
Well, you have to make a start. As every business is the first year of business, you don't make any money. As you proceed, you've got to improve. You know, you've got to make a start. Anybody anticipated that as a result of starting in the year 1944-45, immediately you would get enormous quantities of leftover barcodes.
In fact, what were the principal objectives in for when you were director of agriculture?
To enable each individual to do some cultivation and get a few things, something additional. If every householder planted a pound of onions and got 4 pounds in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Well, look at the amount, how many families.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that the emphasis was towards more intensive cultivation or to the extension of lands already uncultivated?
Material, point in the production of food. All because of this. Rice, you couldn't, there were no ships to bring rice. It's the same program.
And this question of improving methods of cultivation, did you feel that the agriculture department were not very successful in conveying new ideas to the peasants?
Sense only how absorbent the peasantry generally were is another problem. There was a chap there, I forget his name, Hughes, I think, who was an economic botanist.